what does Haynes do about the LUTAC dock? And gearing up for election season again, this time with a look at the governor's race. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. As we mentioned on Saturday, the Haynes Borough received a draft report on a LUTAC dock assessment. And now the borough has to decide how the dock fits into the community's future in order to figure out the best approach to fixing it. The assessment wasn't surprising. The borough and community knew the 60-year-old dock was in need of refurbishing and fixing, especially with the appearance of sinkholes on the dock this year. Engineers in the borough were already looking into how to fix the especially problematic parts of the dock, like the cells and the loss of fill. After a July earthquake, the borough asked P&D engineers to do a more thorough structural assessment of the dock. In a nutshell, the report suggests halting vehicle traffic on parts of the dock, dispersing weight, and installing steel trench plates. It also says the dock would not likely survive a moderate earthquake. One of the biggest concerns, according to the assessment, is the loss of fill, which is also causing the sinkholes. Borough Manager Dave Sosa met with the two main users of the dock after the assessment came out last week, Alaska Marine Lines and Delta Western. The borough restricted vehicle traffic on parts of the dock used by AML, and the borough is pricing trench plates. But neither of those are permanent fixes, says Sosa.
What that really does is it provides some mitigation to weaknesses identified in the structure. You know, so that, those are all the don't drive in those two particular areas, and the trench plate would meet immediate safety concerns and would ensure that we can continue to operate in a safe and functional way.
Part of the dock is owned by the state, where the Alaska Marine Highway docks its vessels. The state already has a plan to repair the deteriorated section of the dock it controls. That plan includes removing the current cells and replacing it with a pile-supported mooring dolphin and fender system. The project is costing the state $2.3 million, but that also includes dredging and uplands work. There isn't yet a price estimate for what the Haynes Borough might have to spend to fix its end of the dock, but that will be determined in part by what the borough, the assembly, and community decides it wants to do with it. It could just be repaired, which may be the cheapest option, yet still costly. The dock could also be upgraded, or there's the possibility of expanding the structure. Those are options some in the community would like to pursue in anticipation of the Wellgreen or Constantine mining prospects panning out in years to come. But with those prospects still just in the exploration phase, others in the community think putting that much work into the dock could be a riskier investment.
I think what we need to do as a community is, and what the staff needs to start, is a discussion on what are potential ways forward. Where are we now? What do we envision for ourselves as a community? And, you know, what cost can we bear?
Sosa says the borough also needs to explore possibilities for funding or partnerships. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority invests in these types of projects, or there could be federal funding or private stakeholders that might be interested in investing or partnering. But those are all long-range options. Sosa says the borough still needs to digest the report, figure out the details, and plan from there. That will begin when P&D engineers come to the October 28th Borough Assembly meeting. If the dock suffers any more damage between now and when a solution is completed, there are two options for still handling the weekly Alaska Marine Line barge or the Delta Western barge. Those would be the roll-on roll-off dock near LUTAC or the cruise ship dock. Sosa stressed those would only be temporary solutions. You can see a copy of the draft assessment on the Haynes Borough website. The Haynes Borough Assembly meets Tuesday, and heliskiing is one of the first items on the agenda. In this case, it's a change to the ordinance governing special ski events, competitions, or productions. The Commerce Committee has been working on the ordinance changes, and up for discussion and approval on Tuesday is whether to allow two permits for special ski events each heliski season, and whether those permit applications can be made outside of the heliski season to allow for planning time. For a complete agenda and meeting packet, visit the Haynes Borough website. The Haynes Borough Assembly meets on Tuesday at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers. With the municipal elections now over, the state turns its focus to the November 4th general election for governor, U.S. senator, and state offices. We'll be featuring reports throughout the next few weeks on those races and the issues on the ballot in November. Today, we take a look at a report on the governor's race, which was shaken up last month when independent Bill Walker and Democrat Byron Mallott merged their campaigns in an effort to unseat incumbent Republican Governor Sean Parnell. Walker and Mallott were in Southeast communities recently, campaigning for governor and lieutenant governor, respectively, and so was Parnell's running mate, Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan. As KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports, on issues from health care to oil taxes, the two tickets provided a study in contrast.
One key disagreement is over Medicaid, the health insurance program for low-income Americans. Under President Obama's Affordable Care Act, states could expand Medicaid, and the federal government would pick up most of the cost. In Alaska, the expansion would have covered an estimated 40,000 people. But Governor Sean Parnell announced last year that he would not expand Medicaid. He argued that the program is deeply flawed and said the federal government couldn't be trusted to keep its end of the bargain on funding. Bill Walker says if he's elected, reversing that decision will be priority number one.
The easy one for us is expanding Medicaid. I mean, it helps 40,000 Alaskans. Good grief. That's a pretty easy one there.
Dan Sullivan sees the issue differently. And this is Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan, who's running for lieutenant governor, not former Attorney General Dan Sullivan, who's running for U.S. Senate. Sullivan says he's against expanding a program that will inevitably add to the federal debt.
It doesn't make sense for me to say we should borrow more money for China to expand a government program.
Does that mean that you wouldn't accept federal funds for anything in Alaska, or it's specifically Medicaid?
Well, we take it issue by issue. I mean, if somebody said, federal highway dollars, for example, can help build a road that will lead to good jobs and economic development, then you see an end game there that's positive.
He says Medicaid doesn't meet that bar.
Again, I'm not sure where it was ever determined that it's the government's role to provide, Medicaid to X number of people. It was supposed to be a safety net, and it's expanded to where the levels that are required to qualify for Medicaid, I think, go beyond the safety net and really just become another government entitlement program that's unsustainable.
Sullivan says a top priority for his ticket would be education. He's proposed a great teacher fund, which would pay for the college education of any student in the top 5% of their high school class, as long as they committed to teaching in Alaska.
You want great student performance? You have great teachers. How do you get great teachers? You train them. How do you train them? Rigorous, strong, demanding curriculum, and attract great students into the program. That's how it works.
Sullivan also took a shot at his opponents, pointing out that Bill Walker was a registered Republican until he formed the Unity ticket. Walker ran against Parnell in the Republican primary in 2010.
I think it creates a disjointed ticket that, quite frankly, I can't quite find what the core is. What's the moral, philosophical core of that ticket?
I would say the core is to put Alaska before politics, and to make decisions based upon what's best for Alaska, not necessarily based upon what the core political party.
That's Bill Walker. And here's Byron Mallott.
The issues that bring us together far outweigh those on which we differ. And the issues on which we differ are more intensely personal than they are political.
Those issues include abortion rights and same-sex marriage. Before merging campaigns, Mallott himself pointed out that Walker is far more conservative on social issues. Walker says since he's not running on those issues, his administration wouldn't introduce legislation on them. But what if the legislature sends him a bill, say, restricting abortion rights?
On those issues, I will obviously read it. I will consult with my attorney general, whoever he or she may be. I'll consult with both sides on the issue that's in the legislation to get their input. And then the last person I'll speak with will be Byron. Then I'll make a decision about what I do with that piece of legislation. So I can't guarantee a result. I can guarantee a process. It'll be very open, very fair, very balanced process.
Finally, there's the issue of oil taxes. Walker and Mallott both campaigned for the repeal of SB 21, Governor Parnell's signature oil tax legislation. But in August, voters chose to keep that system. Walker says his administration would honor that decision.
But what we will do is we will make sure Alaskans know sort of how it's going. In other words, we have way too much confidentiality in Alaska on oil and gas issues. Alaskans deserve to know, is there in fact truly new oil coming in, or is it legacy oil in the pipeline? Is it revenue neutral? Though some have said we make more money on one versus the other. Alaskans should know that. So what we'll do is we'll make sure Alaskans are aware of what we're aware of as far as how it's going.
And Malott says engaging the public is what their ticket is all about.
We will reach out to Alaskans and re-engage them in public policy decision-making in a way that this current administration hasn't, and that Alaskans' voices will once again be heard in their government.
It's not a matter of working across the aisle. It's working, there'll be no aisles. It'll be a matter of working with 60 Alaskans in the legislature, and really, as Byron says so well, really reaching out to Alaskans to receive their input and engage them in the process.
Anything else that you wanted to add?
Well said, brother.
And on November 4th, voters will have to decide whether that vision of a nonpartisan Alaska is a real possibility or, as Sullivan says, a recipe for conflict. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Rachel Waldholtz for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.